Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all to Midweek Service. We're continuing our Bible study on the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers in Christ Jesus. We are on a section looking at the manifestation of the Spirit, and this is the third Wednesday that we'll be looking at this subsection of this study. Our text largely has been from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and today again, this evening, I'll just read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we'll proceed. So I'm reading from verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But," verse 7, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So in the last two Wednesdays, we started off looking at some introductory thoughts into this phenomena of manifestation of the Spirit. And then last week, we went a bit further and actually were able to describe two of them, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. But you see, based on the questions that were asked after the Bible study session last week, I now think it is important to pay a little more attention to the first few verses that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because those first few verses provide some bit more of context to our understanding of the phenomena of the manifestation of the Spirit. We need to understand that Paul was addressing specific issues that the Corinthian church was experiencing. When we actually read further into chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, we will see and understand that the Corinthians were in fact having some extreme wild occurrences, and apparently they exalted spectacular things or events to the point that they were going into error and missing actual divine activities in their midst. That is the general background to this epistle. It's also important to recognize that Paul was inspired to write to them to provide clarity and guidance on different issues. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was dealing with the issue of schisms, division, and partisanship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4, he said to them, "For while one says, I am of Paul, and another of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" And so he wrote to them, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 3 verses 21 to 23, says, "Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he mentioned the case of a man that was sleeping with his father's wife and who was unrepentant about it. In fact, it didn't seem like it was only the man who was unrepentant. It seemed like a large percentage of the Corinthian church felt it was a good thing to do. And so he wrote to them, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" That's there about in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he was addressing the issue of believers going to court against each other and defrauding each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he started dealing with the issues concerning marriage. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 1 says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he started dealing with the issue of food offered to idols, and he explained that an idol is nothing and there is no other God but one. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 4. If you skip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul started dealing with the issue of communion and the conduct of the Corinthians around the Lord's table. In fact, his last statement in chapter 11 concerning this was that he will set the rest in order when he arrived. And so, this now led him to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he started dealing with the broad phenomena of spirit experiences, including spiritual gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, he says to them, let's read again. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant." If you have a good KJV version of your Bible, you will notice that the word gifts is actually in italics. And for those who have been members of this church for a while, and if you're a good Bible student, you will recognize that the words that appear in italics in the KJV version were actually not present in the original manuscripts that were translated into English, but they were just provided by the interpreters and the translators to give more or better clarity and understanding to the words they were translating. So really, this verse should read, "Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I will not have you ignorant." Because you see, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul begins to discuss several different phenomena that can broadly be classified as spiritual matters, spirit experiences, spiritual gifts, manifestation of the Spirit, and all the things that relate to the experience and ongoing experience of the Holy Spirit. But what is very, very critical is that he starts by stating plainly that he did not want them to be ignorant. He did not want them to not understand or to err or to be wrong. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2 says also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. James chapter 1 and verse 16, James said, do not err, my beloved brethren. So we need to understand one thing that is very, very critical. Ignorance leads to error. And the believer in Christ must abhor ignorance concerning things of God. And the only thing that can dispel ignorance is actually the Word of God. And so, just like the Corinthians, we too, we must not be ignorant concerning spiritual matters or concerning things of God. And the only way that we will not be ignorant is for us to accept the teaching that we have in the scripture. Verse 2, let's move on very quickly. Verse 2, it says, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. In verse 2, Paul reminds them that their new reality was not a worship of dumb idols of their past lives. The word dumb in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2 is the word aphonos or aphonos, which means mute, voiceless, without a faculty of speech, or unable to communicate, or perhaps we can use the term lifeless. Psalm 115 and verse 5. Speaking of idols, says they have mouths but they speak not, eyes but they see not. Going ahead in the same psalm to verse 7, he then says they have hands but they handle not, feet they have but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. Psalm 135 and verse 16 says something similar. Speaking of idols again, he says, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. So really, the implication of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, is actually a reminder of the new reality of a relationship that they now had with God, or with a God who could communicate with them and by extension us. So we've not come into a relationship with dumb idols. Idols that can't speak, idols that are voiceless, idols that are silent, idols that are lifeless. Matthew 26 and verse 63, John chapter 6 verse 69, Acts 14 and verse 15, Romans chapter 9 and verse 26, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, 1 Timothy 6 and 17, Hebrews 3 and verse 12, Hebrews 9 and verse 14, Hebrews 10 and 31, Hebrews 12 verse 22, and Revelation 7 and 2. All of these verses refer to God as the living God, denoting fullness of life, vigor, vitality, in contrast to something lifeless. And because he is a living God, God can interact and communicate with his people. Not only can he interacts and communicates with his people. To say it in another way, because he is a living God, God shows himself to be alive in our lives and in our midst in different ways. And one of those ways he does so is in the area of these phenomena of manifestation of the Spirit. And so, this is talking about experiences of encounters with the living God. And that was why I said last week that the context that accurately describes and shows us what the manifestation of the Spirit really look like will be the encounters that the prophets of the Old Testament had with God, the encounters documented about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the encounters that we have chronicled for us in the book of Acts. Those present to us the accurate context for us to understand these phenomena of the manifestation of the Spirit, or generally these spirit experiences. Last week we looked at the phenomenon of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Today, with the time we have left, I think we'll probably be able to do one or perhaps two. And the next one I want us to look at is what is described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. It says, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. And so this manifestation of faith that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 is describing is obviously different from saving faith, and even different from faith as listed in the fruit of the Spirit that we looked at earlier in this series. as we find in Galatians chapter 5. Saving faith is an expression of trust in the gospel message that leads people to becoming saved. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever believes, that is the saving faith. Faith, as listed in the fruit of the Spirit, if you remember, is really more about faithfulness that we described as trustworthiness, loyalty, steadfastness, primarily toward God, but extends to our relationships with others, that is produced in us progressively by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what then is this manifestation of faith? And how would it be different from when Scripture urges us to and encourages us to have faith, in God? After all, our series in church, our main theme has been faith in action, right? So it would mean, if you don't forget, the manifestation of the Spirit are instantaneous experiences that we have in our relationship with God to display the activity of God in our lives, right? So it would then mean that the manifestation of faith would be an instant, certain surge, if you want to use it, surge of faith. Usually in specific situations and circumstances that moves you to confidently believe that something the Lord has revealed to you will happen. So it is developing sudden confidence, trust in what God has revealed to you that will come to pass in that instant. And so the manifestation is usually accompanied by pronouncements or declarations of what is about to happen, and there is absolutely no doubt in your heart that that is about to happen. So I'm not talking about when someone comes, I really didn't want to give this example, but I must. I say, I just declare now 10 people will become millionaires this year. I'm not talking of those kind of proclamations. And everybody say, well, I claim it. No. I'm saying there is truly a revelation from the Lord. And also in that instance, there is faith, assurance in your heart that this is going to happen. And you proclaim it in full assurance and confidence that that is about to happen. If you remember the experience of Moses in Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, when he brought water out of the rock, I consider that to be a manifestation of faith. Elijah multiplied oil and bread by the manifestation of faith. But look at an example in the New Testament that I also would ascribe to this manifestation of faith. Acts chapter 13. We will end here today and then proceed next week. Acts 13 from verse 6. It says, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, remember, Now I don't remember whether it was in this Bible study series. I said anytime you read that phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Ghost, it means the person was influenced by the Holy Spirit. I don't think of it as being a full cup or a full glass. No. But really more about influence. So if I read it again, then Saul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him and said, "O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now, Paul did not curse this guy. Paul was declaring and proclaiming as he was inspired and influenced by the Holy Spirit. And it must have taken a manifestation of faith for him to come forward and declare what the Lord had revealed to him, knowing fully well. He said, "Behold, this is what is going to happen." And it happened exactly like that. And so I'm not saying, I'm just believing God. I'm just, no. It's clear to you that this is going to happen, and you say it with faith. You're not mustering it up. It's a sudden realization in your heart that this is what is going to happen, and you make the proclamation, not in your own ability, but don't forget, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, we will go ahead and look at the gift of healing and the working of miracles. I hope we can do those two, or maybe three, next week, and then we'll proceed. Thank you all for joining. Enjoy the rest of your evening. If there are questions, you can put them in the WhatsApp chat group, and Pastor Ayo Adeoye will and Pastor Ebu Oloyede will answer the questions. All right, bye everybody.